I think it's important. You know, it's wonderful. We are part of this body, this local body, and we have a pastor who, sometimes I look at the leadership and I just try to analyze us. And it's like this, he's got this knowledge, man, this view of God, this biblical, vast biblical understanding of God. And then I look at Dan and he's got this, he knows the Father, and he's focused so much on the Old Testament as what God has done and what God's doing in our life today. And he's so pastoral, and he understands Jewish culture and language and such. And then I so many times question, what in the world have you got me with these two? I'm just this guy with a microscope. The Lord has led, I was telling somebody this yesterday, just in the natural, details are just so important to me because I don't want to miss anything. I don't want the generalities of God and the Word to go by and we've missed something. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I look at it through a microscope, and sometimes it drives my wife nuts. Sometimes it drives people nuts, but I would rather not, you know, I thought about the phrase, the worldly phrase, the devil's in the details. Many times he's there because we forgot him. That's the opposite way of thinking. But let me, I want to share how this stuff comes to me. Because God wants to bring the Spirit of His Word to you for people. All right? So I struggle with stuff. I'm so honored to be able to share up here because, you know, it's so rare. Hallelujah. And that's a good thing because the pastor's protecting. But I'm humbled and I'm honored. I get with God and I talk to Him and I say, look, God, we've got these wonderful messages back here from all these years ago. I want to say they're refined and polished, but that's just not me. They're not that way. And God usually ministers to me, okay, you can go back there and you can do that, or you can do what I want to do. What are you going to do, son? So this word came to me. I was thinking about Mother's Day, and this word came to me in Luke 2:19. But Mary kept, don't look at what's in parentheses right now, we'll get back to that. But Mary kept all these things and pondered. Everybody say pondered. Amen. Them in her heart. She pondered them in her heart. Pondered. The word ponder came to me. Different translations, Mary kept or treasured, like a treasure, or held them close, all these things. What things? Remember all the stuff that happened? The angel came to her, the Holy Spirit overshadowed her, the power of God overshadowed her. She had Jesus. We've got shepherds coming in. Y'all read the message about the shepherds, what happened. It says, after they found out about all this, and it was confirmed, they let loose. I love that word. They just let loose. They just couldn't contain it anymore. But Mary was containing all this and treasuring it in her heart. All this that had happened, Elizabeth, John, all this stuff that happened. And she pondered it. She consulted or conferred with herself. If you want to title this, you get to choose today what you want the title to be. One of two things, or you can title anything you want. Ponder and surrender. Everybody say ponder and surrender. Or my subtitle is this, are you puzzling? Yes, some of you are puzzling. We'll get to that in a second. So, pondered. She meditated, she treasured all these things up in her heart and meditated on them. She pondered or meditated on them. Look at the person beside you and say, ponder and surrender. So I'm thinking about the word ponder. And then I woke up one morning and I'm in horizontal meditation. That's what Joanne calls it. That means I haven't gotten out of the bed. I'm just waiting. And the word puzzle came to me. Everybody say puzzle. Now I'm going somewhere with this. Hang on. The word puzzle came to me. I thought, that's interesting. Why would that word come to me? So I go downstairs, and I turn on the computer, and I look, and there's an article about the guy. Do you remember the co-pilot recently who committed suicide with 150 people on board? Yeah. That has struck me very hard. But without going into what I feel about it, the word out of the article I was reading jumped off the page at me. It says something like this particular article. that the experts were puzzling over the details and the facts. They were puzzling. Everybody say puzzling. So he's not talking about being confused. He's talking about actually doing a puzzle. How many of you like puzzles? Hands up. Anybody like puzzles in here? You are unique people. You are very weird. No, you're very not interesting. It takes a special person. I look at it that way. My sister-in-law is that way. And she puzzles. When we go for a vacation every year with them, she brings a huge puzzle. And what's so weird is, one of my great friends, I talk about him here often, who is a superintendent of the Methodist church, his wife does puzzles, and she passes the puzzles along to me to give to Dana, my sister-in-law. That's weird. That's just odd, but that's what people do, you know? It's like, I need to clarify something. Last week, we had spearmint or mint out in the foyer. Did anybody see the bags of mint? You know, Ed looked at it and said, "What is that?" He's from California. I said, "No, we're not passing out marijuana in the church. Here's a bag." Hang in there. We're going somewhere with this. Trust me. At least you're awake. At least you're kind of interested. What was I talking about? Puzzles. So puzzling. These people were puzzling over this. So I looked up the word puzzle. The verb, the word puzzling is a verb. It can be considered a verb. I'm puzzling over this. So we're puzzling over the details. We're putting pieces together. Think about this. The body of Christ is like a puzzle. And we're jointly fit together in certain ways. And you are an individual piece of that puzzle. You're also an individual piece of the NTCF puzzle. But guess what? Your life is a puzzle too. And it's all these pieces have to fit a certain way. Well, what's so cool is I looked up the word puzzle in English, and one of the definitions is to ponder. So now we've got Mary pondered them in her heart. So Mary's doing a puzzle in Bethlehem, in her heart. She's puzzling all this together. Like, I'm putting these pieces. God, I see what you're doing in my life. Yeah, I didn't understand it. But I want to do what you want me to do. I'm going to allow the pieces of the puzzle of my life to fit together, God. Just do it. So I'm talking to my son this week on the phone, and we were talking about a job situation. And he says about a friend of his, she's pondering the situation. My son never uses that word, ever. I've never heard him say, everybody say ponder. She's pondering the situation. So the other night, Joanna, I'm telling you how this message came about, so you need to listen. I wish you'd hurry up and get to it. This is part of it. This is like for you to learn too, okay? This is how you can receive from God. Just wait and listen and hear. So I look at Joanna, I said, you know, we're driving a certain direction, and I'm thinking about having a prayer drive. That would be kind of cool. I'll talk about that later. But anyway, I said, I want to know the name of this road. I can't find it on the map and which way this goes and such. So we drove out probably 10 minutes from our house to see the name of the road. Guess what the name of the road is? Ponder. Do you think God wants me to talk about that today? Do you think God wants you to know that you need to ponder? You need to puzzle in your life? You need to allow God to put these pieces of the puzzle together? Oh my gosh. So Mary pondered these things in her heart. Surely she began putting the pieces of the puzzle together as to what was happening. You're saying, Bert, you're reading. You're going to be amazed today. I wanted to just stand up here and do not read a word. Oh, but God had different plans. So I'm typing at the computer and she's like, coming out. It's coming out, coming out. I'm going, okay, God, I'll read it. What if she had said no to the angel and to God? I wonder if the angel had visited other young women, but Mary was not the first. Did they just dismiss the angel as having eaten too much pizza? Mary had to surrender to the will of God in her life for her to complete her mission and ministry here on earth. So my question and God's question to us is, will we surrender to the will of God? Will you? Yes. Anybody? Yes. Will we surrender to the will of God? Yes. Will we advance that piece of the puzzle that God wants? Mary said, be it unto me according to thy word. to the puzzle that you're putting together in me. So my question to you is, has the Word become of God become your final authority? If God said it, do we really believe it enough to act on it? Mary did. What about Paul after Agabus, my favorite prophet in the Bible? I know the great ones are in the Old Testament and even in the New, but I love Agabus. Agabus walks up to him and pulls his belt off him and ties him up and prophesies to him. And people are going, oh God, don't go to Rome, Paul, don't go to Rome. And what does he say? What does he say? The will of the Lord be done. Look at the person beside you and say, the will of the Lord be done. Do we really mean that? 3 John 2. Put them up. Put that up if you would. 3 John 2. Here's the will of the Lord. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Everybody say health. Even as your soul prospers. So God's will for your life right here is that your soul prosper and you be in health. I mean, do you really believe that? Do you believe it enough to act on it? Do you believe it enough that, hey, I'm going to do what it says? Isaiah 55:11 says this, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to be void. Look at that. Of power, I wrote, or of no effect, or empty. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So it says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. So God's speaking in faith. When God speaks in faith, the word does not return unto him void or empty of power. But it accomplishes that which he pleases. It does not return unproductive. So if I speak the word out, the word will not return unto me void, because it's God's word, God's in me, I'm wall-to-wall Holy Ghost, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, and he's just going to do what he said he would do. If I speak the word out, do I really believe that statement that the word will not return to me void? I'm meditating on this, and all of a sudden my images went into a cartoon. Like there's this personified word, and he comes back to you and says, Greg, here's the answer to your prayer. And he hands it to Greg. He didn't return unproductive. He didn't return void of power. The word didn't, right? Or he walks up and says, I'm sorry, it's empty. I've got nothing to give you. I'm the word, and I've got nothing to give you because you negated it with your words. So is the word going to return void of power in my life? Is it going to be unproductive, or is it going to be productive? Do I really believe that statement? The word goes forth. It's not going to return to be void. It's going to accomplish the thing which I please. So I'm watching the 700 Club the other day, and Gordon Robertson says this. Out of his mouth, it comes out. Symptoms, he's talking about sickness, but you can apply to any area. Symptoms scream at us and drown out the word and make it unproductive. He said that. I thought, who is preaching my sermon? Everybody in this room, Les is standing up talking about it. Pastor, God's trying to get something across to us. It's not me. He's trying to get something across to all of us. Symptoms scream. Listen to that. Symptoms scream at us and drown out the word. Drown out the word and make it unproductive. And I said, stop the television. Back it up. And wrote it down. Because I've just been sharing over at Greg and Nancy's about something about this. If they're symptoms, they are lies contrary to God's word. They're contrary to the truth. So they're screaming at us. They drown out the word and make it unproductive, void of power. And guess, remember this? Jesus said, it becomes of no effect through our tradition. The word of God has no power and becomes of no effect through your tradition. So what tradition could we be talking about? Believing the symptoms over God's word on the matter. I said, can set up, and I did this. Have you ever done it? Set up a tradition in your mind. Well, I'm going to pray, but it usually didn't work for me. Or you start laying hands on people. This one happened to me. I've told this before. I started laying hands on people, and I wouldn't see people get healed. And they used to get healed all the time. I'm thinking, what's wrong? What's wrong? So I'd start laying hands on people, and all of a sudden I'd set up a religious tradition, which I won't go into right now, a tradition of believing, of actually not believing when I prayed. So the symptoms are screaming. The word is drowned out unless I'm speaking the word, and we cannot let the problem overwhelm our vision and our faith. How do we get around that? We ponder the word. Joshua 1:8, if you could put that up. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate. There's that word again, meditate, which is also a definition of ponder, which is also a definition of puzzle. So I'm puzzling the word. It's not departing out of my mouth. I'm meditating it day and night that I may observe to do, everybody say do, according to all that is written therein, for then I'll make my way prosperous, and then I'll have good success. When my sister-in-law finishes these big puzzles at the beach, she is like, woohoo, I finished it. There's success. So when we meditate the Word of God and do the Word of God and we see healing come, finances come, challenges that are facing us, depression leave, whatever it is, all of a sudden the puzzle, or that part of the puzzle, that piece in the puzzle is complete. Are you following me? So this is why Mary was doing this. She was pondering it, saying, putting all these pieces together that people didn't even know about. She and Joseph, probably the only one people know about it. And she's watching this happen. Now you're watching, this is prophetic. I don't like to use the term prophetic a lot, but this is prophetic for some of you mothers. You're watching your children and they're going in such a direction, you're thinking, what's going on here? Stop it. Start meditating on what God has told you and what the Word of God says, and ponder, meditate that. Start puzzling that in your life. Start meditating on that. I don't care what it is, but that's prophetic for somebody in here. Listen. You'll see where the pieces of the puzzle fit. So here's another guy, a guy in the Bible, Joseph. And I wrote this down. Joseph didn't ponder, he blabbed. You think about it. He had a dream or two, tells everybody about it. Every time you get something from God, you don't have to tell it. Mary, if Mary told all that, people would have really laughed at her. She waited. But Joseph blabbed. So I don't think he pondered enough. He opened his mouth, and his zeal, produced by pride, everybody say pride, led to the pit, to the passage, to the palace, to the prison, and back to the palace. But God used him in spite of his zeal, in spite of his pride, like he wants to use you. But what would have been the perfect will of God in that situation, I wonder? I want to prove out through the mind renewal process the good, acceptable, or permissive, and perfect will of God. So my question to you, I've got many questions for you today. Will we surrender? Everybody say, I surrender. Put your hands on, I surrender. Will you yield? Will we yield? I always try to yield to Dan because he's my elder. He is older than me. But I yield to him because of the experience and what God has put in his life. He's done this longer than me. I yield to him. The other day we started yielding to each other. It was like, you know, the Chipmunks, Chip and Dale. After you. No, after you. No, I insist. No, after you. So will we surrender to the perfect will of God in our lives, or will we live and die and never enter into the will of God? Oh my gosh, think about that. Many people have done that. How many times have you heard at a funeral, he fulfilled God's purpose in his life? I haven't heard that a whole lot. I mean, I've heard some people. I believe NTCF, I have this really interesting, you know, we have this interesting perspective because we get to see Scott and Teresa and what God's doing to them, and then we get to see you guys, and it's like we're kind of in between going, look at this. So this perspective I have, and we always, a lot of times people will say this, well, something, you know, you'll hear the prophets say, something's coming. Something big's coming. Don't know what it is, but something's coming. But I believe NTCF is at another one of those places where, and I wrote this down, we are on the edge of something. We're on the cusp. Anybody know what cusp means? C-U-S-P. Somebody give me a definition. Anybody know? I have no idea. It just sounded a cool word, cusp. We're on the cusp. We're on the edge. And it's like the Holy Spirit's going to go and just blow us over. The wind of the Spirit. Do you remember a few weeks ago when I stood up here and Scott was nailed to the floor and Teresa was passed out on the steps and Dan came up to help me and he gets to crying and laying on his hands? Do you know what was, are you watching what's going on? God's doing some stuff. He's doing some stuff in your leadership. Why? As an example. Many times as an example. I just don't like to be the bad example. But he's doing stuff in us. Why? Because he's doing stuff in you too. And he wants you to let you know that this is how it works. He is humbling so that we can receive. Do you notice Teresa getting the anointing two times in the last two or three, 4 weeks? Have you noticed that? And we had a prayer line. Now, let's get practical just for a second here. We had an ushers meeting, and you may think, Bert, what are you doing moving me up this way and then turning me around and doing all this stuff? See, I'm trying to be spiritual. I want to receive from God. We're trying to do that. We're trying to get you in a position where you can receive from God the best. We're going to make mistakes, okay? But we're going to do it because we want the power and the anointing of God. Whether you feel it or not, we want that to be a present and available for you. Why are we doing this? Did you notice it wasn't one of the three elders up there doing it? It was the pastor's wife. Why? Because we're all part of the body of Christ. God wants to use you that way in the grocery store. He wants to use you that way on the job. He wants the anointing of God to flow through you, the fire of God, as you will. But let the pieces of the puzzle come into your life. Let God put it together. Are you with me? As Hagin used to say, you still here? You gone home? Here's a question. Will we surrender to supernatural manifestations of the Spirit of God? Yes or no? Yes. Answer again. Will we surrender? Will you surrender to supernatural manifestations of the Spirit of God?
Yes.
If we want a move of God here, revival, as Pastor Scott says, we must surrender our will to God's will. We must be open to whatever He wants to do and be willing to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. We must be willing to offer the sacrifice of praise when we don't feel like it. We need to get rid of the telephone pole, as one translation says, out of our eye and quit pointing fingers at the speck in somebody else's eye. So, everybody stand up and sit back down. So I had this question come to me. Are you getting anything?
Yes.
Are you getting anything? Don't just humor me. Three people are getting something. I'll preach to the other ones then. So this question came to me. Perspective. What's going on in this church? So I went back to the basics. If I want to see supernatural manifestations of the power of God in this room, so that I can learn how to operate in them and work them out there, I need to analyze some of the pieces of the puzzle that God's doing here. So I had a question. Don't answer the question. This is what the question is. Why do people fall under the power of God? Just listen. I want to give you my answer. Three words. I don't know. Don't have a clue. But I do know that when the natural comes in contact with the supernatural, something's going to give. Either the natural or the supernatural. Something's going to give in to the will of that person. So why do people fall into the power? I don't know, but what a wonderful experience it is. I mocked it, and then I experienced it. I've seen people resist. I've seen people fake it. Now, God gave me this, downloaded, if you want to say this, and I'm reading exactly what came to me. I've seen people resist it. I've seen people fake it and fall because others fell. I've seen people look back and say, oh, okay, is there room? Is somebody going to catch me? At Bible school, there was an old Methodist pastor, Harley Fiddler. Never forget him. And Harley stood up there and said, if you fell in our church, we had hardwood floors. You better be in the Spirit because we did not have catchers. But here's my question. Will you surrender and humble yourself enough to have an experience with God on the floor? You don't have to. It's not required. But why not? What's holding you back? Pride? Religious tradition? Will you allow yourself to be quiet and still before the Almighty God of the universe? Whether you fall down on your back and someone catches you or not, or whether you fall down on your knees just to fall down on your knees, or your face before God, could it be, listen, here's a piece of the puzzle. Maybe God's trying to get across to you in your life. Could it be that submitting to the power and presence of God could open the door to more supernatural experiences with God? I think humility is the key to receive anything from God. He said, be still and know that I'm God. Sometimes the only way for God to get us still and in order for us to know Him is for us to have some floor time. Look at the person beside you and say, maybe you need some floor time. I've had a lot of the greats lay hands on me. Copeland, Hagin, Bob Lemon, you never heard of him probably. Richard Roberts. Joey and I went to Charlotte or Aiken, South Carolina, somewhere. He laid hands on us. He walked by. You could feel, whether you feel it or not, it's so cool to feel it, the presence of God coming. And when he got to us, it was like this heat was coming out. Alice Criswell, we've had people lay hands on us and felt and experienced. I had one person lay hands on me, knock me back up under the front row of pews, or the pew. The power of God on me, shaking like a kid. I've never knowingly pushed anyone down. I've been accused of it over the years when I didn't even touch some of those people. Isn't that cool? I can only attribute that to the power of God. But I've had ministers actually try to push me down. I even thought that some were trying to push me down when actually it was the power of God. I've also resisted it when I knew it was the Spirit of God. Have you ever done that? The first time I fell under the power of God. Do you like talking about this in church? I like talking about this. Well, I think we need to. The first time I fell under the power of God, months before, I had looked at Myra Parks and June Parks at my parents' house, and I looked at them and they said, "Well, don't you want to talk about the Holy Spirit?" I said, "No, that's a personal thing with me. Personal thing." So we were at Myrtle Beach the weekend I got called to ministry at a full gospel businessmen's meeting, and I'd been filled with the Spirit after that, and I walked up to this guy, and I looked at him. I said, "You know, I got a prayer request for two things." I'd seen all these people like cordwood laying all the place. And I said, "I want more patience. I want you to pray that I'll have more patience." Oh, boy. This guy didn't know any better than to pray for it. He didn't bother to tell me tribulation produces patience, so I got a bunch of that. But I also want to be, quote unquote, and this if you use this term, it's cool, but for me, slain in the Spirit. Because to me, the Holy Spirit doesn't slay me. But anyway, I have a will to be slain, I guess we could say. And he looked at me and he said, "I'll pray for your patience." I wish I'd known now not to ask for that. "And I'll pray," but I said, "whether you fall under the power or not, there's a lot we don't know about that. Just give in to God's will." But did you hear what happened? I wanted that experience. I didn't know why. I just saw these people getting close to God. So it's not something to be afraid of. So he lays hands on me, and I had a vision. I had a vision of what I'd seen that afternoon. And I'll go into that another time, but it was so cool. And after a few minutes, I heard people laughing. And I heard Myra Parks say, "It's a personal thing." And I started laughing and looked over and saw ankles. I'd been on the floor. I didn't even remember it happening. I was lying on the floor under the power of God, had a vision, and this woke me up and got me laughing. I thought, "Oh my gosh, I got to get up. And I got up, but I was drunk in the Holy Ghost, and I couldn't stand. And I'm walking and staggering, and I knew what it had been like to be drunk in other spirits. Let's put it that way. And I couldn't stand up. And my dad and June Parks had to take me and carry me from right here all the way across the auditorium to the front row and sit me down. And I was wild. They almost hauled me out of there. I was just like a drunk man. But I'd seen the counterfeit for so long, I wanted the real stuff. Amen. I wanted the power of God. During every great move of God in church history, people fell. Half of the New Testament or more is written by a guy named Paul who fell under the power of God. I grew up in the Methodist church, and John Wesley had people fall under the power of God. You may say, "What does this have to do with me?" Just hang on. People fell under the power all the time in his meetings. The first time it happened, there was a woman on the front row. She was on the edge. She pitched out. Her body just pitched out into the floor, face down. He thought she'd fainted. So he just stopped the service and he said, "Is there a doctor in the house?" There's three doctors in the house that day. They all examined her and said, "Hey, her respiratory system, her heart, everything, they're breathing, everything's fine. It must be a spell or she's under some kind of power." There was a hypnotist in the room that day and he said, "Can I examine her?" He said, "Sure, go ahead." He examined her. He said, "She's not under some sort of hypnotic spell, but it must be a spell or power or something." And people started asking, "Is this of God? Is this the Lord or is this the devil? Which one is it? Is this the Lord?" He said, "I don't know, but we'll wait, and whoever gets the glory when she comes out of it, we'll know who it is." They waited, according to one book I'm reading, 45 minutes. Are we willing to wait 45 minutes to see if something's God? 45 minutes. She wakes up, comes to him, and says this. She says, let me turn my page, "Praise the Lord, glory to God." Wesley shouted, "It's the Lord, it's the Lord." It's the only way he knew. Charles Finney, anybody heard of Charles Finney? In his autobiography, he tells of a time when it first happened to him in his meetings. He was Presbyterian. There's hope for him. Hallelujah. He was Presbyterian at the time. One Sunday afternoon in Utica, New York, he'd been preaching about 15 minutes when people started falling off their seats onto the floor. They fell like dead men. In a little while, 400 people were on the floor. Under the power of God. Finney learned later those people were unsaved, but they all got saved that day. Catherine Coleman would go, oh, Glory to God. Catherine Coleman would come back from meetings, and after she moved to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, she'd fly in and out of the Pittsburgh airport. I've been there. It's like, I wish I'd known this. But anyway, she would fly in and out of the Pittsburgh airport, and people would recognize her because her ministry was growing. Are you listening to me? And she would just walk through the airport, and people would say, Catherine, could you pray for me? Could you pray for me? She would lay hands on them, and they'd fall out on the floor in the airport corridor. And then security people come by later and see all these people, and people question, why are there 10 or 15 people out here? So, well, Catherine's been through here. They finally gave her a private entrance and out of the airport to get to her plane. George Whitfield, our Methodist roots. George Whitfield. I've stood in the pulpit where George Whitfield preached. Hallelujah! That was a great experience as a child. As a 12-year-old boy. George Whitfield worked with Wesley. And when he would preach, the power would fall and people would fall. He was preaching in Boston, Massachusetts one time. I must have been outside and there were boys that were up in the trees. He said, you need to come down there because when I preach, the power falls and people fall. Guess what happened? They came down, he preached, the power fell, people fell. We cannot see, I'm quoting this from a book, we cannot see the Holy Spirit any more than we can see the wind, but we see the results of the wind. When my child was 2 or 3 years old, I held him in my arms as a storm when I lived in Gaffney, and the storm was raging outside, and he was looking at the storm. He wanted to see what was going on. And I said, son, I said, do you see the wind? He said, yeah, Daddy. I said, no, you can't, but you can see what it's doing in the trees. And I said, that's like the Spirit of God. I'd read this book earlier, and I thought as I reread this, I thought, oh my gosh, that's what I was quoting and didn't even realize it. We can't see the Spirit of God, but we can see the results in people's lives. Amen. I believe God demonstrates His power to let people know He is at work. Maria Woodworth Edder had people fall working in the fields in California or out west. This is years ago. Had people fall under the power of God miles away from where she was preaching. She would go into trances one time for over 8 hours and stood there, suspended. Everything suspended as she was preaching, just stopped. Peter went into a trance. People go into trances. We can do that. God can do that if we will allow us, if we'll allow it. Are you getting anything? Many people, many Pentecostals were called holy rollers. Well, I'd rather be called names by the world than be called a child of God who seeks Him with all my heart. The wind of the Spirit is here. Do you remember a couple of weeks when I was walking back and forth going, whew, that's the other part of the story I was telling when Scott was pinned to the floor. I don't know if it was the same day or not, but I couldn't talk. It was just, it was like God was saying just symbolically what He was going to be doing. Blowing the wind. The wind of His Spirit. You say, well, is that in the Bible? Yes. We're not going to put the scriptures up. You can write them down or I'll give them to you later. Or Kathy, I don't know how she does it, but she'll write them down for you and email them to you. John, I'm just going to go through them quickly. John 18:6, they went backwards and fell to the ground at the presence of Jesus. Somebody says, yes, but that's when Jesus was there. Well, Matthew 18:20 says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. In Matthew 28:4, the guards did shake and fell as dead men. In Matthew 17:6, they fell on their face on the Mount of Transfiguration. In Acts chapter 9, verse 4, Saul fell to the earth and heard a voice. He was talking about it later in Acts 26:14, and said they were all of them fell to the earth. There are three ways that people can fall under the power, at least. Voluntarily, everybody say voluntarily. Falling on my face to worship before God. You saw Don Horton do that earlier. Falling on my face to pray or being overwhelmed by God's presence. Ezekiel 1:28, he saw an appearance of the likeness of the glory of God and fell on his face. Ezekiel 2:2, the Spirit of God entered him and set him up on his feet. Now, I've fallen under the power. I'm waiting to be set up on my feet. Wouldn't that be cool? Amen. It's a sign and a wonder. 2 Chronicles 5:13-14, the glory of God came in the place and the priest could not stand to minister. It is very appropriate, I had no idea he was going to be here today. It's very appropriate that he is here today. Because Joanne and I were talking this week about the presence of God and the Shekinah glory of God. She asked me, have you ever seen the cloud? I said, yes, twice. And the first time was in Greenville, South Carolina with this man. And I was on the platform leading praise and worship. She said, anybody else see it? I said, I don't remember. I don't think anybody else was up there. And I saw it come in the back of the room. And I thought, oh my gosh, here it comes. And people were entering into worship and praise and such. And all of a sudden, it hit me. Something hit me. The high praise, we couldn't break over to that, and it was like somebody put a suction fan and sucked it right out of the room. I'll tell you about the second time another time. One time I was, again with Don, we were at Limestone College, and Don Hughes was this minister, and he came and we put the healing line or prayer line up on the platform, which was wooden floor, and there was this lady named Pat Ray, and Pat got up there in line, and Pat was the elder's wife of the church, and I was catching and another guy, and I dropped her on the hardwood floor, and her head went like this. I heard it both times. And I thought, I've lost my job. Real spiritual thought there, wasn't it? I was panicked. And when she started to come to, and she started to get up, we went over to help her, and she looked at me and said, with these beady looking eyes, "Who caught me?" And I said, "I'm sorry, Pat. I dropped you." She said, "It felt like an angel caught me." I thought, "Oh, thank you, God." So whether you believe in falling under the power or not, an angel popped in that situation and caught her. Because I sure didn't. God wants to do the supernatural, not only in our services, but in our homes, in the grocery store. But what a great place to learn here. Are you having fun? Are you getting anything out of this? Oh my gosh. So what am I going to do? I'm going to let God do what He wants to do. If a building can shake in the New Testament, what's wrong with my little finger shaking? Because it happened in Atlanta for over 2 days. I don't know if it was shaking when I was sleeping or not, but I was on the floor and my finger started shaking. And I went to bed that night with it shaking. I woke up the next morning, it was shaking. I thought, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? Do I want to stop this? Am I too proud to allow God to do something like that in my life? If I am, maybe I could miss part of the puzzle that God's putting together. Am I humble enough for my little finger to shake and for me not to stop it? If I'm not willing to allow the power of God to shake my little finger, how can I allow the power of God to shake me and all out of me that's not pleasing in His sight? Think about that. Somebody says, "Are you trying to get us to fall down and shake?" No. I'm just saying, are you resisting it? What are you resisting? Will I resist God? Oh, I can resist the devil, but will I resist God too? Will I allow God to do what He desires? Do we really want to believe the Word of God has power? Do we really believe the Word of God has power? If God can do exceedingly abundantly, above all I can ask, dream, or think, according to, everybody say according to. According to the power that works in me, then I guess I need to have the power working in me. Meditate on that one. What about angels? People in here, I've seen angels. We could probably, if we stop the service right now, we could probably have 30 minutes of testimonies. I've seen them, but the first experience I had was in a Bible study. You remember talking about the Bible study I prayed for? One of the first people I prayed for died, laid hands on, died. Well, that same Bible study, after this lady was gone on to be with the Lord, we kept having this Bible study in the summer. And I was in this house in Charlotte, and I was the most unusual experience. I love talking about these experiences. Because the power of God is there. And I was teaching, and we started praising and worshiping God, and all of a sudden, I started running, or walking fast. And I ran around through the living room, into the kitchen, into the den, and back to the hallway, and I got to the doorway, and something stopped me. And I went back and forth like that, praising God. And every time I get to that doorway, something stopped me. Well, I ran at it, and when I did, I bounced off of it. Nothing there. The door was open, and I'm on the floor. And the Lord ministered to me, "There's an angel there and you're not going through." I'll describe more why. But can I tell you one more story? Yeah. Kenneth Hagin's mother, when he was a child and was getting healed, and he was in the room, the glory of God filled the room. And he doesn't tell this story very much, but it is so cool. She tried to get in the door and couldn't. There was a cloud. She saw this cloud. There was like a mist, she told him later. And she backed up and ran at it and kept bouncing off of it. God was doing the power, his healing power in there, and she wasn't allowed. Well, what about translation? And Philip was found at Azotus or whatever. Wouldn't he help me here, baptized the Ethiopian eunuch or something. He came out of the water. Next thing, he's found at Azotus. And Philip were over at the house the other day. And we were talking about that. They just came up. And Joanne said, yeah, Philip may get translated one day. He'd come to church and say, where's Philip? I don't know. I think he's in India. He'll be back in 15 minutes. He's over there preaching the gospel to somebody. But that happens. Are we willing to let that happen? Okay, here's the biggie. What about speaking in tongues? Do you have to speak in tongues when you get filled with the Spirit? I love Brother Hagin's answer. No, you get to. You just get to. I'm not waiting on some sort of gift from God, because that's a gift of tongues and gifts of interpretations as part of the spiritual gifts. And that's for the body. But I can have that experience. We may talk about that next week. Come and see. Or we may not. The way God's doing stuff, I'm just kind of hanging on. Could it be that acting on my faith and speaking out in syllables of a language I don't know as the Holy Spirit is prompting me, don't know the syllables, the language, could that be open the door to more supernatural experiences? Am I willing to allow God to use my tongue to intercede for others by speaking in tongues and praying the perfect will of God over them? Am I willing? These are questions God is asking me. Am I willing to be one of the foolish things that confound the wise? About that one. Am I willing to surrender my tongue, my lips, my mouth, my vocal cords to the Holy Spirit to be able to speak into a heavenly language, to worship my Father God, or encourage the body of Christ if accompanied by interpretation? Jude 1, verse 20 and 21. Are you getting anything?
Yes.
Charge up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, and the next verse, part of verse 21, says, keep yourself in the love of God. So, if God is telling me to do this, this must be His will. Somebody says, well, I don't know if it's God's will for me to pray in tongues. There it is. Charge up yourself. Why? By praying in the Holy Ghost. How do you do that? By praying in the Holy Spirit. That's how I can charge up my faith. My faith is like a battery, and I can charge it up, man, by praying in the Holy Spirit. And I can keep myself in the love of God. Boy, I need to do that. Anybody else here need to walk in love? I'm not looking. I want to be led by God. Last scripture, Philippians 3:8. From the New Living Translation. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it as garbage so that I could gain Christ. Gary, if you'll hop on the guitar or the keyboard real quick. Everything else is garbage. Where are we in our life that we're willing to ponder the will of God for our life and surrender to what He desires? You may say, well, I've already done that. Maybe we need to do it daily. God is really ministering to me about some things. And I woke up the other morning, and the miracle of man's miracle of technology. I woke up the other morning and I looked in the Word immediately. And it was Wednesday morning. And all of a sudden, it was like somebody had turned on the switch and it was just flowing right into my mouth, right into my spirit and up into my spirit in my mouth. I picked up my phone, and you know how you can make notes on a cell phone, on a smartphone, and you can do it verbally by speaking into it, or you listen to me. You're laughing, somebody's laughing. I couldn't do it either. Maybe that's what you're laughing about. Maybe you do it all the time. But Anita taught me how to do it. I said, how do you press? Where's the microphone? She said, you see that little button right there? Press that. I went, oh, okay. And it typed out, oh, okay, or something like that. Whoa. So I got my phone out, and I listened. And this is what came out. You can put that down. Off. I just want you to listen. Just really hear this as Gary plays some music. You may just want to close your eyes or may not, but just listen. Am I willing to surrender my pride and my will to the will of God? Ask yourself these questions. Am I willing to shut off the world and listen and really hear what God is saying to my spirit man? This came right out of my mouth into that phone, and I printed it out. Am I willing to, as Les said today, am I willing to take care of the widows and orphans and keep myself unspotted and uncontaminated from the world? Am I willing to make the Word of God the final authority in my life, no matter what the natural realm screams at me? Am I willing to humble myself before God and receive marching orders and assignments on a daily basis? Am I willing to believe beyond what I see and experience in the natural, so that when I touch someone, I know the power of God and the life of God are being transmitted? Am I willing to ponder instead of blab? Am I willing to be persecuted for righteousness' sake? Am I willing to speak God's word and walk in love when people around me are not willing to do the same? Am I willing to lay aside my dreams and goals and acquisition of stuff in order to follow the purpose and plans of God in my life, and in doing so, lay down my life for my brother? Am I willing to accept who God has made me to be in Christ, in His Son, and fling off the failure of the flesh? When I take my last breath on this planet, will I have fulfilled and accomplished the will of God, or will I have wasted time catering to the flesh and its desires? Am I willing to ignore what people think of me and follow God's thoughts of me? Will I just be a nice guy going to hell? Listen to these next two. When I listen to birds in the trees, singing in the trees, will I know in my heart that there is a God? Will I allow myself to contrast the sweet song of the birds with the tormented screams and cries of those who are in hell right now? Will I be willing to do my part to affect those around me in my daily life and walk in such a way to deter them from that eternal torture and usher them into peace and eternal life and bliss? Am I willing to ponder these things in my heart? So perhaps we are puzzling. Not just puzzling to ourselves or to other people, but actually the act of putting a puzzle together. Puzzling. Puzzling the will of God in our life. His word is a lamp unto my feet and our feet and a light unto our path. The Holy Spirit is our guide, so why not open ourselves up to be guided by the Holy Spirit? With our path lit by being open to everything God has for us. Whether it be tongues, being overwhelmed by the presence of God, maybe exhibited by shaking or some other unusual manifestation. Not to bring attention to ourselves. Am I open to receiving our healing and acting on the word concerning healing? Are we willing to share Jesus with someone else? Interceding for the lost and walking in the perfect will of God. What's the next piece, God? What piece do you want to place next? I will yield to you and not resist you.
God, today we yield to you. We will not resist what you have for us. If you are maybe at a place like me where it's time to surrender some things, I want you to stand up right where you are. Just stand up. Simply, if you're ready to surrender some things to God, you know, the Spirit of God is moving on you or has moved on you, and you know it's the will of God that today we put this down, we put this aside. Just stand up. Don't stand up because I want you to. Stand up because you want to. Doubt, unbelief, whatever. God, I pray as you instructed me. Darla, I want you to come up with me. Come up here if you would. This is what Joanne shared with me this morning. Darla, I want you to reach your hands out toward these